Well, it's good to be with you this morning, I didn't take my nap this evening, and I'm going to blame it on that. It's good to be with you this evening. I thank everybody for your attendance and for showing up and worshiping with us. I know it's just an encouragement to me to be able for people to know I'm preaching and still show up. It's always an encouragement. Tonight we're going to look at a topic and continue our series of sermons I've been doing for a while now, talking about things that happen on the mountaintop. And tonight's lesson is entitled, Shout It from the Mountaintops. To begin with, I want to ask you just a question, and really, I think most of you know the answer to it. Have you ever felt the burden of sin in your life? You know, when you think about sin in our lives, when we commit one sin, we don't feel that much, do we? It really doesn't bother us too much. It's when we start sinning over and over again, and it seems like our sins continue to add up within us. It gets to the point where you feel like this donkey. You know, the burden of sin is so great, it feels like you're just up in the air and your feet are dangling and you're trying to go somewheres and you just can't get any worse. The truth is, though, that Jesus has always desired to take that burden away from us. You know, the Lord is willing and He understands your sin. He understands what it, well, He don't understand what it feels like because He's never felt sin. But He sympathizes for us because of our sin. There is a time and a place for you being told about your sin. And the Lord wills and we wills that you understand this burden of sin. We hope when you are told about some sin in your life that it upsets you. It saddens you. I hope that it upsets you so much that you want to get rid of it. And the weight that comes along with it. You know, not everybody feels guilt, do they? I mean, you can look at our society today, and for the most part, our society spends so much time trying to do as much as possible to get rid of any personal consequences for their actions. We have found ways to blame others for our own actions, in part because we just don't want to believe that we're ever guilty or at fault. But the fact of the matter is, when we truly face our sins, when we admit that we are guilty and deserve the punishment for them, that sin is going to weigh heavy upon us. Tonight, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about some good news tonight. What it means when God steps in and takes away that burden of sin. And we're going to look, as you noticed earlier, we're going to look in the book of Isaiah for that very text to see the message. And although Isaiah is in the Old Testament, we find that gospel message that was written to them is a prophecy to us also. First of all, Isaiah starts out talking with the voice of pardon. In chapters 1 through 39, Isaiah points out the sins of both the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel. He then declares severe punishment to them and all the neighboring nations around them. He tells them, you are going into captivity because of your sins. That should be blue instead of purple. There we go. Well, I guess it's just blue, purple looking up there. In chapter 40, Isaiah goes from a prophet of doom and gloom, of sin and sorrow, and he turns to tell the people of a future glory, of a future comfort that's coming to them. There in Isaiah 40, in verses 1 through 2, it says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Sins would take the people of Judah into bondage. Jerusalem, the city that they loved, was going to be destroyed, and the temple within it was going to be laid to waste. There was going to be much sorrow because of the sin of the people and the destruction brought upon them by their enemy. But Isaiah is going to remind them, even though Babylon was so powerful here on this earth, they was not so powerful that it would stand against God. God's people at this time would be far away from Him, but not so far away that God would not bring them back home. Isaiah is told to comfort the people. Comfort them because the time of their trial, their warfare, would end, and their sin would be pardoned. Those who are Christians have received that pardon from sin. We have faced our trials due to our sin, but as Christians, those sins have been removed as far as east is from the west. In Psalm 103 and verse 12, that's what the psalmist writes. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. I think I've used this illustration here at Providence before, but it's one that I love. It's one that brings great comfort to me. Did you ever realize that if you go north and south, that you can only go so far and then you go the other direction? For instance, if you travel north from the South Pole, you can get to the North Pole, you'll be traveling north. Once you pass it, what are you doing? You're going south. That's not true with traveling east to west. When you travel east to west, as long as you continue in that direction, you will never meet the other, no matter how far you go. And that's what the psalmist says. That's how far our sins are removed from us. Next, I want us to think about the voice of preparations. You know, the Jews had a long road ahead of them. And there was one who would cry out and get the people ready. There in Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 3 through 5, he writes, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know, this nation needed someone to prepare the way for the coming king. And this herald not only would he announce the king that was coming, but he would make the path ready for the king. When we get into the New Testament, we realize that these words were spoken concerning the ministry of John the Baptist. He would come out of the wilderness and call the people to repentance. He would prepare the way in his baptism for people to receive a greater baptism. Spiritually speaking, the Jews were in the wilderness when the Messiah came. The way was not easy, but to help others be able to receive the King of Kings is a great work. There is so much preparation that still needs to be done. John the Baptist is not alive any longer. That chore is left up to us. We are to prepare others to be able to accept the Lord. The next thing I want us to think about when thinking about this passage in the Good News, and that is the voice of promise. So now we have the messenger comes, the way is prepared, and so what's the messenger going to say? How is he going to prepare the people? Well, in Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8, Isaiah writes, "The voice said, 'Cry out.' And he said, 'What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever.'" And so the voice says, you cry out. Well, what am I going to say? What's the message? Well, I think the message can be summed up in this. Everything comes to an end except for one thing. I want you to take this away if you can, if you can remember it. The enemy is like the grass and the flowers of the field. All of Satan's works, the temptations, the trials and persecutions are not going to last forever. You and I may face many enemies and trials in this life. Most of them, a lot of them, are probably due to our own sins or the sins of others. But these enemies, just like everything else in this world, will end. The grass withers, the flowers fade. But then let's read again this last verse. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. What Israel failed to grasp was that the coming king and with him made everything weak, just like the grass, just like the flowers. There is nothing of might and power but God and His Word. The next thing I want us to think about is the voice of proclamation. There in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 9 and 10, Isaiah writes, "O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. saying to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Isaiah proclaims, you get up on the mountaintop, and you shout it. Behold your God. Go up there where you can be heard. We might say today, you stand before your family, your friends, your co-workers, and yes, even your enemies. And you proclaim the Word of God. And also, you proclaim it to your church, to your brothers and sisters, to strengthen them, to remind them of their God. You want good news? Isaiah says, behold your God. He is coming. The salvation that comes from God was the good news for the Jews enslaved in Babylon. But it is great news for those enslaved by sin. Isaiah says, the Lord comes with might. The weight of sin that was so heavy that we talked about at the beginning of this lesson, it has been taken away through Christ. But that's more than just that. It's more than just a mighty power that takes away sin. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, Isaiah continues on and says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. I'm a firm believer in the old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. I found this picture in searching the internet. I hope you can see. Uh-oh. There we go. Uh-oh, we're gone. I hope you got to see it before we lost it. But anyway, it's gone back to the thing. Anyways, if you happen to see it, it was just a shepherd. And he was holding the lamb in his arms. And just the look, the care, the love for that little lamb. I think it says it all. That's how God, that's how Christ feels about his children. He wants to hold us in his arms. He wants to love on us. He wants to take care of us. That's our God. We have a gentle shepherd that wants to lead us. And we need Him to help us find our way and continue on the way. These words is what I want you to hear today. Words that come from God through Isaiah to you. Go to your mountaintop. Proclaim it. Shout it to everyone. Behold your God. The God that brings comfort as He takes away our sin. The pathway to God has already been prepared. And the path to Him is straight. And I want you to know how deep within that every enemy and every physical body will come to an end. But the promise that is in the Word of God will stand forever. Isn't that worth telling the world? Tonight, right now, I hope that you let God take away that weight of sin that is bearing down upon you. I want you to be able to say and feel what it is like to be in God's grace, knowing that you are saved. Today may be the day that you climb to that mountaintop and you praise God. It may be that you need help on your journey. That's what the church is for. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what Christians are for, is to help you on your journey. Is there anything that we can do tonight to do that? To help you get started on your journey? If you've never obeyed the conditions of salvation, if you've never confessed His name before men, repented of your sins, if you've never been baptized so your sins could be washed away, or maybe you've done that and you've just fallen away. That one sin that you committed wasn't so bad. And so you committed another one and another one. And finally you looked at yourself and you saw all those sins and you felt that burden upon you and you thought, well, I'm just not worthy. He wouldn't want me back. But He does. He wants you to come back. He wants you to be a part of the church. He wants to be able to call you His child again. If there's anything that we can do to help you, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.